8:25, 6 PM, Public Works and Capital Projects Committee meeting to order. If we can begin with a roll call, please.
Chair Nolan?
Here.
Deputy Chair Litz?
Here.
Legislator Donaldson?
Here.
Legislator Kovacs?
Here.
Legislator McCullough?
Here.
You have quorum.
Thank you. Is there a motion in regard to the minutes of the May 12th meeting? Moved by Legislator Kovacs, seconded by Legislator McCullough. Any discussion, corrections, amendments? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? I'd like to ask for all motions tonight to be to adopt resolutions unless otherwise specified. And we're expecting to have a couple of people from the Agricultural Society attend tonight's meeting and speak with us. Some cows got out, apparently, and so one of the members of that group isn't here yet, so we're going to go to resolutions and then we can come back to pick up that presentation and that discussion.
I got to say that's a first.
So let's look at, and I understand we only have Deputy Executive Laval with us for part of the meeting. So with the first two resolutions, I think she's going to help us address. And if there's anything else you can let us know, we can move that up as well. So resolution number 214 of 2025, requiring initiation of the procurement process to secure construction manager as agent professional services for enhanced oversight of the Government Operations Center capital project. This is a resolution introduced by Legislator Gavaris to put out an RFP for construction manager on behalf of the legislature in regard to the Government Operations Center project. This was postponed in our committee last month. Legislator Gavaris is not here. Does anyone want to move this for discussion or for adoption?
I'll move for adoption.
Moved by Legislator Kovacs. Is there a second? Second by Legislator McCullough. Discussion.
As I understand it, this is only an RFP. So we're going out to bid. We're going to see what responses there are. And we're not making a commitment to hire this person.
Yes.
Or is this out
there? Deputy Executive Laval.
Sure.
In considering this this resolution, we have some concerns regarding what that means to the overall project management. And we prepared some points that I'd like to share with you that kind of summarize some of our concerns. The first is just to mention that the project is already underway. So we're no longer in what would be a planning or a design phase, and that site work, as you know, has commenced, and we're, gearing up for construction to begin as soon as we have dealt with the kind of site condition. We are concerned that this mid-process introduction of a second construction manager essentially would add complexity and not really value to the project. We are working with the Palumbo Group as our construction manager. They have been on the job for about 2 years. They have been attending weekly meetings along with the design engineer and have provided a lot of good input as far as schedule, cost savings, insights into suggestions that have already provided a lot of benefit to the county, and I think have been reflected in a very good bid that came back with respect to the estimates. We have worked with Palumbo before on the Family Court project, which was on time and on budget. There is a concern that a second construction manager introduced once construction has begun is duplicative, and it is potentially something that would actually introduce more delays and kind of confusion to the process than perhaps benefit. We are, continuing to use with Palumbo Procore, so there's a very robust construction management software. We also have project accounting, which legislative staff has full visibility into through the New World Financial System. And we're happy to interact with the legislature, perhaps in those weekly meetings, in any way that makes sense in that process. We just are concerned that this separate construction manager creates kind of a dual management scenario. Actually, in researching this, we've also seen that this is not seen as a recommended project by various national firms who advocate for construction management and the American Institute of Architects, that having dueling construction managers is generally not seen as a best practice for a project. So we're happy to work with the legislature to provide access and transparency through all these various, through Procore, through project accounting. However, we are concerned that introducing a second project, a construction manager, is not really going to provide the benefit which is desired.
Thank you. To the specific point of whether or not putting out an RFP would then obligate us to hire a responsive bidder, do you have an opinion on that?
That's true. It's an RFP to find a potential bidder. However, it is, again, not without its own cost as far as staff and getting through that process. So it does require staff time.
Thank you. Other comments from other members of the committee? I would add that I appreciate the sentiment behind this resolution because Legislator Guevara and I and others were so troubled by prior projects prior to our having a county executive that went poorly, cost the county, were not done well. The jail project comes to mind as a big example of that. That project didn't have a construction manager. That project didn't have the executive's team doing the kind of management that Deputy Executive LaValle was talking about, with the tracking software, the accounting, weekly meetings, and a whole lot of oversight. So I do think that bringing in specifically putting out an RFP and then hiring a second construction manager is putting additional cooks in the kitchen that I don't see the benefit of it. So I personally would oppose this. Trying to put a word out, I didn't hear from Legislator Guevara in terms of how he would feel about another postponement, but I'm not sure what a postponement would grant in terms of changes. Any thoughts on taking a vote up or down, making a motion to postpone?
Chair, if I could?
Yes, Legislator Kovacs.
Well, first of all, I think that we postponed it once, and I think the sponsor deserves an up or down vote. I would point out that I don't think, first of all, I haven't made a decision whether we should hire this person. Let's just, personally, I'd like to see the quotes. The response to the RFP, and then we can make a decision at that point. As far as this being duplicative, I don't think it is. I think that we, as a legislature, have a fiduciary responsibility to make sure these projects, and this is a very large project, but to make sure these projects are run correctly and on time and under budget. I certainly always listen carefully to the assurances from the executive branch, I think that we as a legislature have an independent obligation to make sure these projects are done correctly, which I think is the impetus behind Mr. Guevara's resolution. So I would suggest an up or down vote, Chair. I don't think we need to postpone this any longer.
To your points on the merits, I think the offer of having somebody from the legislature on these calls that are already doing this type of management would satisfy me at a fraction, a tiny fraction of the cost. and with much less risk of having hiring somebody who then feels obligated to find problems because they've been hired to be the watchdog. And if you're paying somebody an engineer's salary, which take it, you know, we'd be up in those realms, you're likely to have somebody who feels they have to deliver something for, you know, what they've been hired to do. And so it has the potential to be more adversarial. And that, you know, there might be instances which you need that. And so that's what you're hiring and trying to obtain. I think that would have been the case for me if the legislature was, we still didn't have an executive's office to have this kind of management. But I think that's part of the reason we put in place this type of government that we now use. So I am sympathetic to your arguments on the Burdown vote, because I don't see how we change this resolution much by postponing it. Thoughts from anybody else on the committee? Shall I call the question? All those in favor of resolution number 214, please indicate by aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Nay. Any abstentions?
Abstain due to employment.
Legislator Litz, due to employment. So I will have this failing 1-3-1. Thank you. Resolution number we have folks from the Ag Society here. Would you like us to turn to that discussion now?
Okay.
You ready?
I apologize for my
language. Sorry if I I realized after I said it that was your personal business, and I but I thought it was so sweet as an explanation that I wanted to bring it to our committee. So we have from the Agricultural Society of Ulster County, John Fitzpatrick and Dara Kopaski. Dara is going to present to us, I think, and may have some handouts. Thank you to the execs team for coming and going. Thank you.
This is fancy. So what we brought is just a kind of an overview of what's been going on with the fairgrounds, a little bit about the fairgrounds in case you didn't know or aren't familiar with where we started. I'm not going to read the whole thing word for word. I did, when you get to the one point, since the point where 2016 we've put in the money, I did math wrong. So the grant money that we have gotten is just the difference of the two numbers there.
On
the first page. John just brought it to my attention that I put the same number in twice, so it's just the difference of the two.
The total still that was invested into the fairground since 2016 was still the $615,000 that we, the Ag Society, have put into the fairgrounds and buildings, mostly building some improvements. We had gotten $484,000 in grants, and then the $131,905 is what we had put in from our money. So the total put into it was $615,905. So.
Thank you.
And we did meet again with the committee from the county representatives regarding our licensing agreement. We did have a meeting, and they told us they would have a red line back to us the week of the 23rd. And then after that, we did get some points of interest from that committee that they wanted some updates on and how we were fulfilling those. So I did list them, each of the resolutions or local laws that they had put forth to us. We're working on getting some more AEDs. We already have two on the grounds. The county obviously no smoking. We do have some signs, so we are going to get some additional signage to put throughout the fairgrounds. Regarding with the non-toxic landscape practices, the fertilizer is provided by the county, so we are also in the process of working on removing anything on the fairgrounds that we have. The pollinator-friendly landscape maintenance practices, we had a local landscaper that's going to donate time and we have a greenhouse that we're working with to get some pollinator-friendly flowers and carbon sequestering grasses to put throughout, integrated with what we have on there, on the grounds already. The Skip the Straw Law, most of our vendors, I believe Gary said, that are already participating with that, but we are going to remind them and let the new ones know. As far as the food waste and zero waste community, you can, you know, read that lovely big pile at your leisure. We are going to be continuing to work with Manageo, Ulster County, the Feed Hudson Valley, who we had last year. Again, there's a whole bunch of blurb around what we did last year for that. The feasibility study for rooftop solar, everything that we've done has been before that resolution was passed. So anything going forward, we will make sure that we are on top of that one. Gary meets with, the proper people to make sure that we are on the up and up with the fire code, building codes, and all that. And then we did include some pictures of what we have done.
Thank you. Are there questions or comments from members of the committee? I have a couple of questions and comments myself. Does the Ag Society, in its contracts with Ulster County, regularly have a commitment or requirement to contribute a certain amount of money per year?
Yes, and it is much less than I don't know what it is off the top of my head. Do you remember? It's in like the $5,000 range.
Yeah, if I remember right, it was fairly small because I think it was a $15,000 amount, but we could use the landscaping that we do every year, which is about $15,000, or maybe it's $5,000 less of the requirement. I wish I had a contract here that I could tell you, right? But it is a fairly small amount. And then the improvements that we do over the years, like, you know, we've put in $131,000 615 over the last 10 years. That is included in that number. So we've gone, you know, above and beyond that
above
number.
The number.
It's
because
cumulative.
I ask because the use of county property is, it's a mutually beneficial type of arrangement. But many of the other properties do have some kind of contribution, and I thought you did.
Yeah.
That $10,000 or $15,000 range sounds like what I remember. I think that what you're describing here is good, and these conversations going forward is good. It's nice to have you have the list of all the county policies that apply and work towards coming into compliance with those. I think the other thing that the county is looking for is to get greater clarity about your standard operating procedures, who you are, who's doing what the procedures are for handling monies that are related to the fair and accounting for all of that.
Mm-hmm.
You're a nonprofit organization, as I understand.
Yes.
So this should not be unfamiliar terrain. It's the kind of thing that if you were at a higher level of income would be requirements from the state. So you don't have that level of income, but you're dealing with public monies,
mm-hmm.
Public lands, and then monies from the public and operating on behalf of Ulster County. So if we can work to tighten that up, I think that would be good. Do you have an audit of your financials from?
Yes.
We're in the process of
every year.
Every year.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So as that you get the prior year's audit completed, then bringing that into these conversations will be great as well. I know that there has been this conversation about how to allow you to do more advanced planning, and wanting to have a contract of greater than 5 years, which is problematic for the county. I have been having conversation with the execs team about whether or not there might be ways either for the county to indemnify you if you schedule something and then it has to be canceled because you end up not having a contract, or to have some type of event insurance that could be in place to handle that type of situation. It's been a very long-standing relationship, and so it might be that if there's some way to mitigate that risk of planning beyond the contract horizon, that it would, that you could do it, and you and the performers would be covered in case there was something that came up unexpectedly in the contract negotiations. I know it's not ideal from your perspective. We tried to do some things from, you know, to be creative with it, and the county attorney's office is saying that's not ideal from the legal perspective. So we have to see if we can get as close as we can on that and meet all our requirements. I'm happy to work with you on that. I think it's quite reasonable in today's world that you need to do planning beyond 2 or 3 years out. I do think the composting, you know, your amounts are well below our composting law, but you are our premier event. And so as much as possible to get you having a leadership role on that, maybe even with the 4-H and other organizations that are, you know, closely affiliated with you. And I would think that the county should help with the financing of that to help you get into that role and help you deal with volunteers that you might need to organize to do that. But I'd love to see you saying, yes, we really want to do it, and we need your help.
We need your help. How does that count? Because
that count?
We just don't have enough volunteers, and we barely have enough volunteers to do what we do to get the fair going. And I am going to be sending out an email to get with Mana Jo and try to really see if maybe she can organize the team or something. You know, we just don't have enough people.
Yeah, I did. Deputy Executive Laval, can I offer you as part of that planning team? Is she hiding from me or? So, yeah, I think working with Mana Jo is good. And I also think it's going to take, I know that you, the activities that you do take a huge amount of organizing the volunteers. And we know from Legislator Litz, who's been a volunteer, and from the way that they do this at the cauliflower and the garlic festival, that it takes somebody organizing it. So I think there is a role for the county here, and it probably is in terms of hiring consultants. There are people in Ulster County that do this, and so maybe we can look at what it would take to finance that and put it in place. Probably too late for this year's fair, but anything we can do to move in that direction and have, you know, our policy now is to have all our fairs have some attention to this composting element. And the other, my last thought is that we are already doing what I think is important, which I'd like to see the contract negotiations move forward. I think that there's a benefit if we can get your audited financials in time to having these conversations before the fair, and then having the next year to kind of work out whatever happened, rather than have you have the fair, have these conversations going on, need to do it by the end of the year when you're wrapping up the fair. So this year is already a little in advance of prior years, and I would encourage you, if that suits you, to keep moving that forward. And that may mean you need to move your financial planning a little bit forward so that the county has all of the materials it needs for that contract work. Legislator Litz.
Yes, thank you. Two things. By resolution, they're supposed to have a meeting in September every year to go over these things, which it's already June and it should have happened last September. But we need to give, by resolution, we need to start getting in the rhythm of doing it when it's supposed to be done. The second thing is I know by statute the county cannot enter into a contract longer than 5 years, but we should query our county council as to whether we could have a rolling contract, or every year at that meeting in September, we could have a one-year extension to the existing contract, so it keeps that contract 5 years out every year. So it's still a five-year contract, but it gets extended out, so it's never longer than 5 years. We really should hear from our county council to see if that's a possibility.
I think that's been investigated. Deputy Executive Laval, can you come up to a mic? Or bring a mic back to her?
Legislator Litz's question was brought to the county attorney, who was the one who stated that a rolling contract, or, you know, quote unquote, an evergreen contract was not advisable in this situation, and he was not comfortable with that type of arrangement.
So the difficulty with that type of approach, as I understand it, is it circumvents a law. And the law is there not to be circumvented, but to be followed.
I mean, there's a couple of ways you could handle that. One, we could have the contract ready before that period, that September meeting, and actually have it ready 6-8 months prior to, so that everything is hashed out, so you can enter into the five-year contract with the feeling that, okay, we're all set, there's no problems, you know, which will give comfort to the Ag Society. And you could always have either the EDA or the IDA take over the responsibility of the contract, and then it could be entered into for a period longer than 5 years, much like we just did with iPark 87, a 10-year lease for BOCES, and I believe SUNY was part of that, which we terminated because the iPark people, their funding institution said, no, we're happy with a five-year contract. So there are other options to the five-year contract that we should explore.
I don't think there's any problem with looking at some of those. I would say with a 10-year contract, you would for some years deal with the problem of advanced planning for performances, but in the latter part of that contract, you would bump up against it again. So it would reduce the number of years in which you don't have a contract when you're trying to do future event planning, which could have some benefit. It's hard to say that Ag Society Fair is industrial activity. It really is economic development activity, but I'm not sure it would meet the criteria that the EDA usually operates under. But I think all those things could be explored. I don't think that it makes sense to, from my perspective, I would encourage going ahead and completing a contract under the existing framework and then using the next 5 years to try to improve this. And my suggestion of moving the contract date forward is partly because I think it gives everybody the sense that everything's being addressed and that you can put in place your five-year contract at the earliest possible opportunity and know what you're getting.
When we spoke with them the last time, I think how we kind of, we are now understanding that we can't do any more than 5 years. The importance is meeting every year, right? So we don't get to the end of our term where we are now and have to scramble. So we weren't able to make those connections for the last couple of years, but now we have, and we appreciate that. So we can't fix the past, right? We can only better the future. So in having those meetings annually, then we shouldn't have to scramble as we get closer to the end. Whether it's, the way it is now, we'll be able to you know, give our audit from the proper year. And, you know, as long as these meetings can be kept annually, I think we'll be in much better shape.
Great. I'm all for improving the communication and the reliability of that process.
Yeah. Also, and this is really some long-term planning, we may want to look at the possibility of buying the real estate from the county, right? I had brought that up at a previous meeting. I had some homework to do. I didn't do my homework, right? But we know we can't afford the market value of the property the way it is, right? But maybe there's like scenic Hudson, you know, things out there that would buy the development rights, right? Mm-hmm. So the county would basically sell the development rights, which then they would get the money from the value of the development rights, reduces the value of the rest of the property, and then that number may be a number that we could afford, right? There's a lot of research we would have to do to look at that. We'd have to get appraisals done of what the value of the real estate is before the sale of the development rights, what the value is after, to look at, hey, is this even a possibility, right? So I think Orange County had recently done that. And that program is for the purchase of agricultural property. Does the fairgrounds fit into that? You know, from their definition, I just don't know the answer to that. So it is something that, and I haven't even brought it in front of the board yet, right? So very preliminary, but I guess I wanted to get the thought out there of doing something like that. I think there's only three fairs in the state of New York that don't own their own fairgrounds, right? So we're one of the three. We're the other 50 or however many. The Ag Society actually owns the real estate. So we're one of those three that don't. And then we don't have to worry about things like this, right? So, but it is down the road, and you know, as we do a little more research on it at any of these future meetings we have, we can bring that up and talk about that as well. So,
it's worth exploring.
Yeah, absolutely.
Any other questions or concerns? Yes, Legislator Donaldson.
You said that the RRA provided buckets to pick up food waste for composting. Who actually picked up the buckets? The RRA, or did you have somebody do it?
Harry would know more than
that.
But I believe it was
them.
Okay. Or we had somebody pick them up, deliver them. I'm not sure.
They deliver them to the RRA?
Yeah.
All right. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
So I'd like to return to consideration of resolutions for tonight. With resolution number 301, amending the 2025 Ulster County operating budget, amending capital project number 520 highway safety program, amending the 2025 capital fund budget, Department of Public Works, highways, and bridges. And this is adding an amount of $75,000 to the design services for the Zanda Hook drainage project in Hurley. Is there a motion to adopt? Legislator Litz moves, seconded by Legislator Donaldson. Any questions or concerns? Deputy Executive Laval did tell me that this additional design work was for downstream design that would help this project potentially qualify for resilient New York funds in the future. And the resolution includes a designation of this as a type 2 project under SEAKER. Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Resolution passes unanimously. Resolution number 302, approving the execution of a contract amendment for $67,410 entered into by the County Bergman Associates Architects, Engineers, Landscape Architects, and Surveyors, DPC, Department of Public Works. This is the contract amendment to go with the prior resolution.
I'll move it for adoption.
Is there a second? Legislator Litz and Legislator McCullough. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? That passes unanimously. Resolution number 303, amending the 2025 Ulster County Operating Budget, amending Capital Project number 661, Bridge Superstructure Repairs, amending the 2025 Capital Fund Budget, Department of Public Works, Highways and Bridges. This is a project that has five named bridges in it, and some of the initial work revealed that more work is needed on at least one of those bridges.
I'll move for adoption.
Moved by Legislator Litz, seconded by Legislator Donaldson. Is it all the bridges going to need more work, or just some of them?
Hopefully not all of them. The one that they've uncovered was pretty significant. But it's a different style bridge from the other, so we're hoping that we're not going to come back.
So far you've only looked at the one, or you've looked at?
We've only gotten in depth into one.
Okay. So this would be that one bridge. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Thank you. Resolution number 304, approving the execution of a contract amendment for $33,000, causing the aggregate contract plus amendment amount to be in excess of $50,000 entered into by the county MMG Fire Equipment, Inc., Department of Public Works. And this adds additional monies for fire suppression systems and fire extinguisher, various kinds of extinguisher inspection at county office buildings.
I'll move for adoption.
Moved by Legislator Litz, seconded by Legislator McCullough. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? The resolution passes unanimously. Resolution number 305. Approving the execution of a contract for $67,928.56 entered into by the county United States Pest Service, LLC, Department of Public Works. This is was the result of a bid and is a new pest service for the county.
I have a question. One of my colleagues has a problem with the glue sticks. They're going to be used for insects, that you say, and not rodents?
Correct.
How can you guarantee that a rodent won't get caught in one?
You can't guarantee it, but the glue traps are placed in offices, and they're kind of just a diagnostic tool to... I would also say that the rodent glue traps are different size and much thicker of the glue. An insect glue trap is a very thin film inside a tent, basically, whereas a rodent glue trap is a much more substantial.
How big are the traps there?
The rodent glue traps or the insect?
Well, for the insects.
So they're probably maybe a business card, like in a little tent, and it's a very thin layer. Where I don't know if a mouse would even get stuck.
And they're indoors.
Correct.
So my understanding is the insect film strips that I've seen, some of them are ribbon-like, and they'd be 12 or 18 inches and only about an inch thick, and thinner material, so they wouldn't hold a rodent. I do oppose rodent strips, glue traps. We often catch birds in them if they're outside. So I think that some of the concerns that Legislator Stewart raised in his letter that he sent to the members of the committee would apply if this were if the contract anticipated using rodent glue traps. So I'm going to ask that we go ahead and address this. The executive's office, Deputy Executive LaValle, said before she left that she was happy to work with the vendor on this, and that the understanding she has is what was just presented, that we're talking about insect strips that would be used to diagnose what a pest problem is and then design a extermination plan that would probably not involve the glue strips, would involve something else.
And they meet with you periodically? The vendor meets?
So this is a new vendor. We just put out a new bid, but we use Pestmasters for years in the past, and they come around. Some buildings it's every other week, and other buildings it's once a month. And they monitor the insect traps.
If there is a problem, can you call them and they'll come?
Absolutely.
All right. Thank you.
So does that address the concerns? So we already had a motion? We did?
No, move it.
Moved by Legislator Litz, seconded by Legislator McCullough. They're starting back with it again. Is there any further discussion concerns? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? That passes 5-0. Resolution number 306, establishing capital project number 735, 2025 purchase of highway equipment, amending the 2025 capital fund budget, Department of Public Works, Highways and Bridges. This resolution establishes a new capital project to purchase highway equipment. Is there a motion?
I'll move for adoption.
I'll second.
Moved by Legislator Litz, seconded by Legislator Donaldson. My question for DPW is, can you just run down for us the type of equipment that you're looking at? This is $3,670,000 of equipment. So.
Sure. So there's a list in the back. But there are 4 8-ton trailers, 3 tandem snowplows, 2 triaxle snowplows, 3 Chevy 3500s with a dump and with plow sander, 4 Chevy 2500 single cabs with plows, 4 John Deere tractors, 1 Caterpillar loader, and 1 electric Bobcat skid steer.
And a partridge. No, that's very. Thank you. That's helpful. We will be asked if we know what this money is for, and so we can refer to that list. It's helpful. This resolution also includes a Type 2 designation under SEAKER, which would mean no further environmental review is needed. Any questions or concerns from the members of the committee? All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstention? We have a resolution number 225 that updating the Ulster County pedestrian and bicycle policy that was postponed last week in the Housing and Transportation Committee. The sponsor of that resolution, Legislator Stewart, has taken that resolution to the Traffic Safety Board and is working with the Traffic Safety Board and the exec's office on that. So I expect that will be forthcoming. Is there any new business? Is there any old business? Legislator Litz.
Yes. I brought up 4 things last meeting last month, and I want to thank the commissioner and his people in his office that went out and took a look at those issues and got back to me in writing. I appreciate that. Hopefully everything is resolved to everybody's satisfaction. Thank you.
It's really good to hear. Thank you, Commissioner Masterson. Any other old business? Legislator Litz.
Hearing none, I'll make a motion for adjournment.
Is there a second? Legislator McCullough. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? We are adjourned. Thank you, everybody.